Hi guys, welcome to another episode. Hope you're doing great. Hope we are at least taking little steps every day towards achieving our best life. Remember, we are trying to create a life that we'll enjoy. And obviously, living your best life doesn't mean that you won't have challenges or stresses, but it means that at least your life should be batting 80%, you know. Like, you should be, for the most part, happy and content with your life, even with the challenges and everything. So that's our aim. So today, well, you've already seen the topic, so it's about rejection. And so it was inspired by this whole Big Brother stuff between Laycon and Erica, irrespective of, you know, the part that Erica plays in the whole situation. Okay, so basically, for people who have no idea what I'm talking about, Big Brother Big Brother Niger, I don't speak pidgin, as you could tell. Big Brother Niger is going on, and so there's this love triangle ish. So there's this woman, Lazy. Her name is Erica, and she likes this guy. His name is Kate. Then this guy Laycon likes her, and then she goes around talking about how she's mentally attracted to Laycon but physically attracted to Kate. And she goes about talking about how, oh, she knows that Laycon is the one person in the house that really cares about her and stuff. And she tells this to Kate, and I'm like, okay, his full name is Kate Wire, or that's his artist name or something like that, because his real name is, I can't remember his real name now, it's not important. Anyway, so that's basic gist, right? And, you know, initially when he expressed his feelings to Erica, Laycon expressed his feelings to Erica, you know, she didn't return feelings and stuff, and she told him that, yeah, she doesn't like him like that. And, you know, earlier on, it became clear that he, because I don't know, I heard somewhere that, you know, he has never really been rejected before, like, in that way, like, when he likes a girl, the girl likes him back. So he was struggling, and he's still struggling to wrap his head around the fact that somebody does not like him. And it's not all, I mean, she has her own part to play, but we're not going to go into the dynamics because this is not an analysis show. But basically, what I'm saying is, so that's, that whole situation got me thinking about rejection, and it got me thinking about my own personal life and times when I have, you know, told guys, like, you know, I'm not interested, and how they have reacted, you know. And some people have reacted, like, well and in a mature way, and some people have reacted in, you know, it was that, like, I understand, like, because I understand that rejection is not something that's easy to accept, and I feel like for guys maybe it's kind of a little harder, I don't know why. But, and I'm not saying that in the, like, in the derogatory way or any ways to kind of make, you know, guys feel like, oh, and like, no, that's why, like, I let them express themselves, because I'm like, I understand that you're in your feelings and, you know, you want to express your emotions and everything, and it's a healthy ish, I mean, sorry, as long as you can find a healthy way to express that, I don't mind. Like, people that experience rejection and then what they proceed to do is to belittle the other person is rubbish. I've had someone do that to me, and I was just laughing because I was like, oh, you are not serious, you little man. Because, like, sorry, little boy, because you're not even a man, like, you child, you know. So I didn't say anything to the person, of course. I just let him talk, and then this happened years ago now, you know. He said, oh, that he was just going to what did he say, Seth? I can't remember, Sha. Sha called me ugly or something. I was like, okay, now you are just reaching. You are just reaching, sir. But okay. Yeah, so it just was like, whatever. So it just led me to think about rejection. And besides, in the romantic sense, in the general sense of things. So that's what I want to talk about today. So if we go by Google's definition of rejection, I know that I've been doing lots of definitions lately. I just want us to have a clear understanding of what I'm about to talk about, so that, you know, it's not like there's an interpretation that's different from, you know, the angle at which I'm coming from. So, rejection, as defined by Google, is... So there are two definitions. First is the dismissing or refusing of a proposal, idea, etc. And then the action of spreading a person's affections. So basically, the first one is like, you know, if you're rejected for a job, or if you bring up an idea in your company and it's shut down, or if you have a business idea or proposal and you go to your potential investor and the person is uninterested, stuff like that. So that's that rejection. And then the second one is spreading a person's affections. So, you know, a lot of people are afraid of rejection. So it actually hinders them from trying. So like, I know a few people that, like, for them they don't like online dating, because one thing that online dating is going to teach you very quickly: rejection. You'll be rejected so many times, like, so it just is like that kind of rejection, just by the time it just keeps hitting you like that, you just kind of get it, you kind of understand that, okay, it's not necessarily about you, right? I was snapping my fingers in case you're confused. It's not necessarily about you in that moment. It's more like they found someone with whom they felt a greater connection, or they just don't feel that connection with you. And that's okay. You're not going to vibe with everybody. You're not for everybody, you know. And everybody isn't for you. So, and the whole point of dating, at least I believe for most people, is to find one person. Some people want to find multiple, but, you know, on average, in fact, of a majority, I believe that you're looking for one person. So the fact that, you know, Tom, Dick, Harry, John, Musa rejected you does not mean that there's still not someone there for you, someone out there for you, right? So I should have started with this quote, but I'll just drop it now. It says, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it, right? You don't have control over things that happen to you. That's the truth. You know, you don't have control over other people's actions. You don't have a say over how people treat you, how people treat you. You can say you'd like people to treat you with respect and stuff, and that is obviously the best. But you can never 100% guarantee that that is what is going to happen, because you don't control things. You can, you know, based on weather forecast, you can kind of see, okay, they are predicting rain. You cannot control when the rain will fall. You cannot control how heavy it will be. You can't control where it will fall. You know, you can just control how you react to it. So you check the weather forecast and you carry an umbrella. That's really the best you can do, and you just kind of hope for the best. And if it rains, at least you have an umbrella to protect you, you know. So if you realize that a lot of things, well, they react. It's more like respond. You know, reaction is like reaction, if we're using pure chemistry terms, every action has an equal opposite reaction. Yeah, so it's a reaction, but it's more like a response. Like when you actually, you know, think about it like from a rational perspective and then take an action, as opposed to just, you know, responding without thinking, you know, it's more a reaction. I know I'm failing to explain it properly, but I think you get what I'm talking about. So I realized that when you mention the term rejection, it always comes with this negative connotation that, oh, you know, it's something bad that happened. But I think this podcast, I'd like us to kind of cast that off and realize that it's not necessarily a negative thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing to be rejected, you know. There are, you know, do I have personal stories of where rejection turned out to be for my good? No. But, I mean, okay, in terms of guys, you know, I think, but then again, I do a lot of rejection too, so okay, so not my life is not the example, so ignore that. Anyways, but you hear people, stories of people who say, well, you know, okay, I just read a story on LinkedIn, actually. It's a perfect story. I read a story on LinkedIn. This guy got an interview for this job that the offer salary was 60% higher than what he was currently making. And, you know, he was going through the interview stages and everything, and he got to a stage and he made an error when he was talking, and he noticed how one of the partners corrected him, and it was in a very condescending way. And based on that, he decided not to take the job because he wanted to work in a healthy workplace environment, which I think is very important. Unfortunately, in Nigeria, a lot of people don't really have the flexibility or options to choose their workplace, because unemployment is super high and underemployment is the order of the day, you know. So, and then he said that because of that, he didn't take it, that his wife was like, are you mad? Like, sorry, she didn't, I mean, this is Mirabelle's, you know, emphasis. But his wife was confused. You know, she didn't understand. She was like, why wouldn't you take it and everything? And then he said that, yeah, that, well, eventually he did find another job. And that 9 months later, he found out that the whole team was laid off. So, you know, yeah, I mean, initially, yeah, you'd have been getting that 60% pay, you know. And if I think of it from a struggle mindset, yeah, like, yes, you know, I would let me struggle for 9 months and get that money. But think about your mental health. Like, I feel like as Nigerians, we need to focus a lot on our mental health. The whole society is a stressor on us. Just getting to work alone, you have so many triggers on the road, you know, from traffic to selfish drivers. You know, you go to the office and then it's like there's no expectation of being treated with respect. You know, you hear of people going to Canada and one of my friends told me a story of someone going to Canada. And she was like, oh wow, that's, you know, how that's, she finds it strange that her boss treats her with respect and doesn't, you know, minimize her or belittle her. And it's like, man, people are really suffering because that's a normal, that's meant to be the norm. Like, you're not meant to be actually, like, I mean, there are toxic work environments everywhere. I'm not saying that, oh, Canada is perfect or Nigeria is the slums. No, there are good work environments in Nigeria and there are good work environments in Canada and there are bad in, like, all over the place. I mean, I don't know about Norway and Sweden because those countries seem perfect, but I'm sure that they have their version of unhealthy workplace environment. I'm very sure that it will not be anything close to like American or Nigerian toxic work culture, but that is, you know, that's what it is. So sorry, that was a kind of diversion, but back to the example. So his initial rejection, you know, eventually worked in his favor in that he did not have to be laid off and then be thrown into the job market and have to start looking for work again from scratch, you know. So we have to this is an example of him rejecting and not him being rejected, but still the point is like sometimes when you reject for a purpose. So obviously the guys that I rejected them for a reason or another, and I those reasons are valid because the reasons that I reject are things that are important to me, like, you know. So I can't just be with somebody just because the person likes me and the person says they'll be good to me. You know, you saying you'll be good to me, or your idea of what being good to me is, may not be my idea of what I consider being good to me is, you know. So we have to be we have to be conscious in our decisions, and we cannot just make decisions based on how things look, you know. We have to dig deeper and think about what we really want, what would make us happy, what would fulfill us, and then go from that point of view. Okay. Now, not being selected, you know, for anything can feel very painful in the moment, and that's true. Like, I already talked about how unemployment leads to low self-esteem, because it did for me and for my friend. It makes you question yourself. It makes you question your intelligence, your abilities. Honestly, it's very, very painful, very harsh. And then if you schooled abroad, it's worse, because then you feel like just a failure. You feel like you have wasted your parents' money. It's heartbreaking. Like, honestly, it's heartbreaking. So, you know, honestly, when people are telling me about, like, you know, that they're unemployed or whatever, I feel for them, or that they're underemployed, I feel for them, because I know what it feels like. It doesn't feel great at all, you know? And I, you know, that's why I love the fact that a lot of Nigerians have this hustle spirit, and I just pray that as you begin to make it, that you also begin to cultivate the spirit of enjoyment, you know, and a spirit of rest. A lot of Nigerians don't like to rest. Everything, you just be running up and down, and I don't understand why, you know. So me, I seem sluggish in comparison, because I'm not like always just, you know, doing. So I just want to touch on a few points on how to handle rejection. So the first one is, and this is whether in relationships or in careers or whatever, don't interpret it as a rejection of self, you know. So sometimes when a girl tells you she doesn't like you, you know, you're tempted to be like, oh, there's something wrong with me, like, if you watch all these Bachelor shows, which I used to, but then I stopped and I watch once in a while, you know, when someone gets sent home, they're always like, oh, what's wrong with me? Why didn't he choose me? They internalize the rejection as per, I have a problem, that's why he didn't pick me, as opposed to, oh, we just weren't a good fit, you know. And it takes a lot of reflection to actually think about your conversations with the person and stuff and be like, well, to be fair, our conversations were kind of shallow compared to the kind of conversations I was having with this other person. Or, you know, our chemistry was not quite, you know, it was kind of like a friendship chemistry. Because sometimes you also know, you also can tell that it was not quite there. Or you can be like, well, I could tell that I really liked him, but he wasn't giving me the same energy I was giving him, you know. So those are things that, you know, come with time. When you reflect, you can now realize that, oh yes, you know. But initially, obviously, it would sting. And I'm not saying that people can not blindside you. So people can make you feel like you guys are on the same page, and then at the last minute be like, nah, and they just pull out. That does happen, you know. I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but I'm saying that for the most part, you know, you are able to get a sense of where someone stands with respect to you. Mind those people that like to play games, I'm not talking about those people. I have nothing to say to them except grow up. Okay, cool. So next, don't take it to mean that you're not good enough. So like I just talked about unemployment and how it does make you feel like you're not good enough, like you don't measure up and stuff, you know. Even jobs that don't require experience and then you're not getting it, you begin to feel like, what's wrong with me, you know. You work on your interview skills, you work on your resume and everything, and still just nothing comes forth. It is very frustrating and very demoralizing. But at the end of the day, we just have to keep encouraging ourselves and know our worth. And we have to keep on, like, bringing to our memory the things that we're good at, you know. Because that's the only way to fight this thing, is to actively, consciously change your paradigm, change your mind. Because... so I actually finally got a job, you know, at the tail end of my stay in Canada. And I feel like part of why that happened was because by that point, I was already over the whole thing, you know. I'm not saying that being, like, really wanting a job is a bad thing, but maybe there was some kind of desperation or something that was coming. I don't know. Well, I know that at the point at which I got this job, I was very just, like, I was over the whole thing. And the way I was talking, when I was on the phone, I was talking with so much confidence and so much just, like, man, this is me, give me the job. You know, very direct, very, because I was like, whatever, like, as opposed to before, where I was not super, like, as, I don't even know what the word to use is, but it was just different. I sounded completely different. There was this confidence, you know, that I didn't have to tell, like, I didn't have to work myself up to. It was just there. I don't know where it came from. And I think it just came because I was like over the whole thing. I'm like, well, whatever happens, happens, you know. I have an interview, cool. So we just have to keep reminding ourselves that we are good enough. And if there are skills that you need to learn, of course, by all means, learn them, you know. Which brings my next point of, sometimes it may mean that you didn't try hard enough for something. And I said, although sometimes it may mean you didn't try hard enough, don't take it as inspiration to try harder, unless it's career or personal development related. With relationships, no. And by that, what I mean is, if you're trying to date a girl and the girl is like, no, I don't like you, respect her. You can stay her friend and everything, but don't take it as like, if you want to woo her, that's fine, but don't take it as, what I mean here is, like, don't take it as inspiration to begin to pressure her or try to corner her or try to force her into dating you. Like, you can be like, okay, cool, and be friends. And then when you are actually, like, be friends, okay. And then if eventually the tides turn in your favor, that's great, but don't push. And once again, I guess I'm assuming that everybody is mature, and that when the girl starts liking you, she will tell you that, oh, I started having feelings for you. This is obviously wild assumption here, but I'm hoping that that's how we behave, you know, as a society. And part of being mature and growing up is being able to express your emotions and feelings, you know. I know that there's, you know, some toxicity around males expressing emotions, but I hope that as, you know, as we grow up, we shed all those things, we unlearn those things, and we learn expression, healthy expression of our emotions. And yeah, well, I mean, that ties into my last point, which is don't pressure or force someone to choose you. You know, I believe in being chosen because you are wanted. I don't believe in forcing myself on someone. You know, it may sound like I may be, to some people it could be interpreted as, oh, I don't care enough about people or something, and that's not the case. I care, and I'll be hurt if you don't choose me, but I am a big girl, and I have learned enough to know that you not choosing me is not as a function of any, you know, thing that like is wrong with me, like me being not good enough or whatever. And if you consider whatever flaws I have, that's like as a reason why you don't want me, that's okay. Like, everybody is entitled to choice. Everybody has a right to choice, right? So I respect your rights to choice, and I expect people to respect my rights to choice. If you don't choose me, I'm okay, and if I don't choose you, you should be okay. You know, so that's kind of how I see things on that front. And so I'll talk about this but on another podcast, maybe the next one. So it's about self-rejection, but I would go deeper into it in the next podcast episode. So I'm just gonna pull up a quick definition of self-rejection. Just give me one sec. So self-rejection basically is like things like selling yourself. Sorry, I know it's not a definition, but self-rejection can be like selling yourself short, not giving your body proper nourishment, not giving your soul proper nourishment, or your emotions, your spirit, you know. Examples include not pursuing your highest aspirations, so like just being resigned to the current life you have, whether or not you're happy or not. So not pursuing career growth or personal growth. It can even be things like perfectionism, you know. So perfectionism is like when you want everything to just be perfect, you don't, and yeah, you're just going to keep working at it until it gets to that point. And even if it takes you 1 year to really, to, because trust me, if I wanted things to be perfect, I wouldn't have started this podcast, because I'll still be like, oh no, I need to perfect this and that and other. Now, it doesn't mean that you should be producing trash, but produce quality, right? Like something that is like 70-80%, let it go, okay? And then another example of self-rejection is instant gratification. So basically, self-rejection is when you're not taking care of yourself in the best possible way. That's basically it. And I think we all practice a form of self-rejection. And it's not like it once, like if it's once in a while, there's nothing wrong. It's if it's like that's your habit. So for like example, if you're always eating junk food, that's self-rejection. You're not taking care of yourself. If you know you are under a tremendous amount of strain, like from work or whatever, it's a lot of mental strain and it's beginning to drain you, and you don't choose to take a break, and then you end up having a breakdown, self-rejection, you know. But I'm going to talk more about that later. But this brings me to the end of this episode. Hope you've learned something, and I'll see you next time. Bye.